I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Certainly is on this Friday. Mark Melusis in for Nick Costos. This is You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network. I hope Sean at the end there didn't feel like I was jumping on him about Top Shot, because did he? I mean, I was just voicing my opinion passionately.
It was just funny. It was really funny because we go through this very technical discussion. He explains the article that he wrote. And he was great, and we appreciate having him on. And then right at the point we're going to wrap up the interview, you turned into like old man yelling at cloud about NBA Top Shot. We were just like, I don't understand why it's so valuable. Like, someone tell me. And it's like, meanwhile Rick's like 30, 15.
I understand. I get it. But I can't compare a 15-second highlight of Jackson Hayes dunking the basketball to Picasso.
Yeah,
I mean, I just can't. I mean,
I don't know. He also painted some pretty crappy paintings. I don't know, man.
See some of those things. If I go to New York City and go to the Museum of Modern Art, I walk around there. I mean, there's beautiful artwork. Now I'm gonna get a Rajon Rondo highlight of him hitting a layup and say, right. Well, that's $600. Says who? Says the NBA.
Right. I think part of it. So. You're both right. Well, I mean, he wasn't even really making a point. He was just explaining what he had learned.
I get it. It wasn't. I mean, listen, he basically said
he's not pro Top Shot. Right. He's not pro Shot.
No. But it's taking over the country. I mean, it really is Top Shot. It's you can't turn around. People are talking about Top Shot on Twitter. I mean,
like,
listen,
communism.
You're barely on social media, Ken. I mean, you tweet out basically that, you know, that Gonzaga line against Michigan. You're getting all kind of hate tweets, and you're off for the next 3 days. So, I mean, you're not on it. I'm on social media 24/7 all the time, and all anybody's tweeting about is Top Shot.
Right, because it's a free lottery ticket. Because if you're Joe Schmo, and there's a ton of FOMO going on, and I think some of it's people that were late to Bitcoin, what's the next thing I can get in on? Because I was late to Bitcoin and I didn't get it, and now it's worth a billion. And, you know, I think there's like everybody always has FOMO with investing stuff. GameStop, that whole GameStop scandal was basically like people kind of doing the same thing. They're late to a party, and then they think that there's still money to be made. Usually they're the ones that end up losing everything, the people that are late to get in on this stuff, because they hear it hyped and pumped up by everyone. So you make a good point in one way. The Jackson Hayes example that he used was interesting, because he even told you after the fact, a day later, that was gone. The bubble had already burst on Jackson Hayes, much like his career. The bubble had already burst on Jackson Hayes. And it's not like, I think what eventually happens is that there are expensive cards. There are cards that are going to be worth a lot of money, like moments. I'm calling them card collectibles. This is all the same thing. Digital tokens is really what they are. But some of these moments are going to be worth a lot of money. They're going to put out a Jordan series and they're going to go for millions of dollars. They're going to put out a Kobe series. They're going to go for millions of dollars and all that. So there'll be an ecosystem, I think, where there'll be valuable moments that people will want to own, just like you want to own the Honus Wagner T whatever card that goes for $2 million every year. It's a, you know, 4x6 picture of a guy from 1880 with a mustache. Like, that's really what it is. That's all it is. But it's perceived as valuable. So on the one hand, I think the ecosystem will exist. But the one way I agree with you, everything at the bottom of the ecosystem right now is inflated. Every single stupid collectible, any piece of these videos whatsoever is going for hundreds of dollars, which is like totally ridiculous. And I think that's the part that we'll see subside as more stuff is introduced.
Well, here's one more thing that bothers me, right? I have an issue where...
Air the grievances, Bruce.
No, I understand that. I get it. But here's the other thing that bothers me. I heard Mark Cuban, the Mavericks owner, compare it to owning collectibles and cards, right?
Sure.
Where he said, well, I can print out the same Mickey Mantle card that sells for $1.5 million on my printer at home. And I... Well, it's not one and the same.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, it just isn't. Like, if I physically have a Michael Jordan, was it 86 Fleer, that's PSA graded 10, that just sold at $500,000 at an auction house, right? If I have that card, I physically have that card, right? I can print out a picture of it, but it's not that card. If I have a highlight, and it's a digital token, but if I have a highlight of a Zion Williamson dunk, I can look up and still have that same highlight on YouTube, and it's still one in the same. It's not packaged the same, but it's one in the same thing. That's where I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around. Now, if you want to say that they're going to use it in video games, or they're going to make it a Pokemon, I show up at a game and all of a sudden it's a different experience if I'm an NBA fan to get me to go to that game, well, then the NBA is making even more money off of it. But I have a hard time comparing it to the collectibles because it's two completely different things when I'm looking at it and analyzing it. And the marketplace right now is so over the top where it is right now. But, you know, that's where I have a hard time looking at it being one and the same as collectibles and as cards, Ken, because it's just not.
Sure. I think, I agree with you and I disagree with you. So I agree with you that it's not the same because one is like a tangible physical thing and the other is not, which is kind of like what the point that you're making. I mean, there's no argument against that, right? That's like just the difference. It's like saying, you know, my imaginary friend is real or something. There's no way to win that argument. You know, belief in the supernatural, like I see a ghost or something, you know, like, no, you don't. Let's have an argument about it. So I'm with you in terms of like there are very obvious differences between the two where I think, you know, like I would come in as just, you know, it's stores of value are whatever people decide that they are. And you don't have to think that they make any sense for them to be stores of value. I'll just be perfectly honest. I know what Bitcoin is and blockchain technology. And I followed this for years. And there's still a huge part of me that's just like, everyone's just in this as like a speculative like asset, basically. Like nobody actually thinks this thing matters. It's just something that's going up in value. We've decided it's a store of value, basically. And it doesn't, even if like we can't use it to buy anything, we can only use it to transfer money between illegal offshore sports books. Like this is all we use it for, you know, as gamblers. But if sort of humanity has decided,
so you think
this
there's
a
bubble
of value,
of Bitcoin, you think Bitcoin's gonna burst?
I don't, I think cryptocurrency and blockchain as a thing is very long lasting. I don't know if Bitcoin is going to end up being the thing that like dominates everything. I don't think we know the answer. I think we assume it is because it's the one with like the largest market cap by a huge margin right now, but it could be something that hasn't been invented yet. It could be something like the technology is incredible. The technology, and that's part of the way this is the technology that guides these digital tokens. And there are more sports that are doing this too, which I want to get to in a second. And then we'll do overnights. I promise we have a half hour left. Don't worry if you're tuning in for that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, like the technology is incredible. This idea of like peer-to-peer, you don't need central banks, you don't need central institutions to control right. currency, and you can guarantee no fraud transactions, which is the other part of this. So you mentioned the tangible baseball card thing, but I think you have to admit, and this is where I give the idea of the digital token some credit, and I don't give it a lot of credit just for me personally as something I want to own, but I will give it credit in that if you buy a baseball card anywhere right now, you go to a show, you go to a trading card expo, you buy it on eBay, which is probably how most people purchase collectibles, you go to joescardshop.com or whatever and purchase your Mickey Mantle card, what do you have to do immediately? You have to get it authenticated by 10 people. You could have been given a forgery, could have been given a fake. This is, you know, fraud is I don't know the industry well enough to say it's rife with fraud, but it has to be a part of the industry in some way, shape, or form. It would be it's something of value. There's no way someone's not trying to game the system, just like with Top Shot. But in Top Shot's case, they're basically guaranteeing the authenticity of the token. Now, you can think the token's stupid and that you would never want to own it, but they are at least guaranteeing the authenticity of the stupid thing. So there's no fraud. There's no whatever. If you own something that's one of one in that ecosystem, that is one of one. And no one can forge it. No one can give you a forgery. No one could do any of that. So that is at least a blind spot that they have identified that exists in the collectibles industry that they are trying to fix. Now, whether you want to buy into whatever about this, that is at least something where they looked at, because like I think there's a part of me that thinks this all of this stuff is just like who cares? And just like I don't want to own any of this stuff.
You know,
like,
I don't want to be like the old man, get off my lawn. I just think it's stupid. I mean, honestly,
interesting sentence. I don't want to be the old man saying it on my lawn, but this is stupid.
No, it just is. I just look at it and I'm all war. Listen, I'm invested in Bitcoin to a less extent. Right. But, yeah. You know, I'm a retail trader in the stock market. Right. I do that and stuff. But I look at this. I'm trying to accentuate and look at the value of what they're doing. I think it's very manipulated by the NBA when you look at the value that is placed on it. I think the NBA has everything to gain from this because they're gaining money and making money on every transaction. They're releasing the videos. You know, all of this stuff, the NBA is manipulating the market. Therefore, listen, if you can go buy a $9 pack of three highlights and you can flip it and go make $1,000 or $1,500, God bless. I mean, that's taking advantage of the marketplace, and there are a lot of people that are doing it right now. Yep. But I do think the bubble is going to burst at one point because I'm just having a hard time grasping the value of what they're selling and what they're putting out there.
Right, and what you're describing, and this, I mean, this is going to be like kind of my final point on the topic, and I think I've said this on the show before. They've created like an unintentional scarcity, and that's what's creating the market that's going on right now. So they didn't kind of mean for this to happen. They've created a situation where the technology is not ready to be rolled out yet. As Tyler and I frequently joke on our text chain, it's in the beta. It's in the beta right now, guys.
It's in the beta.
It crashed my computer and gave it a virus and someone stole my identity. Well, it was the beta. It was the beta. Like, that's what did it. That's the excuse for everything. Oh, my computer just blew up. You have to do the rest of the show by yourself, Moose, but it was the beta. That's what did it. You know, so they say that all the time. And what I interpret that as is just like, none of this is the finished product. None of this is actually what any of this is supposed to be. The vision for what this product is not even close to realized yet. So it's by having something that's not fully developed, but the word got out about it and created incredible popularity and kind of a rush on it, basically. And they weren't ready, and so there aren't that many packs. They don't want to release more because they're worried this whole thing is going to break down and the technology is not going to work. Like, they're still trying to get the bugs out, and everyone's like, gimme, 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 I want to buy. And so these two things in combination have created, like, the craziest scarcity you could have possibly imagined. Like, there are none of these things, and everybody wants to own one. So that's what's creating the rush right now. I agree with you that once more packs can like safely be put into the market, and they want the casual fan to be able to buy the $9 pack and get the Jackson Hayes dunk. And it's what it is. It's a 50-cent piece of video, and it's your favorite player, and the casual fan is invested. Like, that's what the NBA wants. That's what the company wants. So like, their vision is not for this to be some, you know, exploitative, speculative investment that only like the people in early can enjoy. So I agree with you. It's a bubble. It's just when this subsides, whenever that is, let's say it's 2 months from now, let's say it's 3 months from now, whenever they can get the technology figured out and actually roll this out, because again, it's in the beta, whenever they can do that, then, you know, what does it look like? That's what you and I think are trying to unpack. And I think for me, it's an ecosystem where you have 99% of the collectibles are probably not very valuable, and they kind of scale in value a little bit. And then you probably do have collectibles that are very expensive that do have a lot of value, much like you do in all other kind of genres of collectibles. So I agree with you. It's not, what's going on right now is insane, and it's not insane wrong or insane right. It's just crazy. And we all kind of recognize it's crazy, but it's also an opportunity to make money for some people. And, you know, like I'm not offering a judgment on that. It's just, what is it in a month, 2 months, 3 months? I think you and I both agree it's something different. What that is, I think we kind of have to work out as we go.
Yeah, fair. Fair. And I just argue, be careful. I mean, I get what you know, what's out there. If you can make money off of it, God bless. You want to get to overnights, or you want to hold to it after the break?
We have 90 seconds. Let's hold it. I want to echo the point that you just made, because we have people listen that bet on sports. And if you bet on sports on some level, you're kind of susceptible to not brainwashing, but just making irrational decisions. A lot of people that bet on sports gamble, and they play the stock market, and they buy Bitcoin, and they buy other crypto, which is even worse. And they, you know, trade in this stuff, like, and you bought GameStop stock, because how could it ever go down? We're going to bankrupt the hedge funds. So just like, you know, recognize a pattern here. Who's making the money in this situation? The NBA is making a lot of money on commission. Company that owns this, who created
making
crypto,
a ton of money,
all this stuff, they're making, again, like 5% on every transaction. There were 70 million in sales yesterday. So they're making a lot of money already. Who's making the money? The people that got in way early, that had early access that you don't have, they're making money flipping this. And people with a lot more knowledge of the market are trying to make money off of it. So where are you? What can you do in the market? Just, you know, buy the lottery ticket, take the ride, you know, put no money in. It's plus EV to just wait in line for 1 minute, see if you get in the queue, and that's it. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, that are susceptible to that type of, you know, kind of degenerate behavior.
Yeah, just
and
be careful.
Bad way. Just be careful. Like, think about all these other things I just mentioned where you have the chance to get taken advantage of. This is another one.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's well said. We'll come back. We got overnights for you. And maybe I want to hear that run in Vegas that Ken had before the end of the show as well. It is You Better You Bet on a Friday night on the BetQL Audio Network.